Daf is Daf Yud Aleph. So we got three lines down. The Gemara says Rabbi Chanina bar Papa. So we're still continuing that conversation about how different Amoraim would open up their drashas on Megillas Esther. So Rabbi Chanina bar Papa pasuk la pischa la ha parshasa mehacha. He would open up with this pasuk. It says in the pasuk here kafte enosh l'roshenu banu va'esh v'mayim. Here kafte enosh means a person mounted onto roshenu, onto our heads. Banu va'esh, we enter into esh v'mayim, we enter into fire and water. So what is this referring to? There's a pasuk that's found in Tehillim. It says be'esh v'mei Nebuchadnezzar rasha. That's a reference to the days of Nebuchadnezzar, which compared to fire. And mayim is b'mei paro, the water, the Nile, throwing their children in, the kriyas yamsuf, all that has to do with mayim. V'atotzienu la'arivaya, that they took him out to a place of revayah, lashon of abundance, bimei Haman. That was the days of Haman. So then the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan, pasach la pischa laha parshasa mihacha. He would open up from a different pasach. It says in the pasach, zachar chazda v'emunaso, remember his chesed, remember his faithfulness, the vesesah, that Kadosh Baruch who had trusted in Amiso. Ro chalafsi aretz, and all the ends of the world saw Is Yeshua Selokenu, the Yeshua that came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when did this happen? Amasai Ro'uchal Afse Aretz Es Yeshua Selokenu. When did the entire world observe the Yeshua that came down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? V'mei Mordechai V'Esther, since we know the Mehoduvad Kush, that was the area of the world that was owned by Achashverosh, so they all saw the Yeshua. It was something that spanned the entire Kol Afse Aretz. Thank you very much. Baruch Atah Adonai Elohim HaKalam Shech Kol Nibid Vero. Reish Lakish pasuk la, pischal ha-parshas ha-me'acha. He opened up with as follows. It says, Ari nohem v'dov shokek. The lion is roaring and the bear is growling. Moshe Rasha al-am dal. That the Russia is ruling over a very poor nation. Ari nohem, what's that referring to? A roaring lion. Zed Nebuchadnezzar ha-rasha. Nebuchadnezzar is described as saying, Ola Aryeh Misubucho, that a lion came from the thicket. That's a reference to Nebuchadnezzar. Dov Shokek, that the bear was growling. Ze Achashverosh, Dechsebe, it's written about Achashverosh, Va'aru, Cheva Achari, Sinyona, Dom Yeladov. It says in another Cheva is Lashon of a Chaya. So there's another Chaya, another Cheva, a second one, Tinyona means second one, a second Chaya, the second animal that was similar to a Domya, Dome, similar to a dove, to a bear. That's referring to Vitani Rav Yosef. Yosef explains who was described as a bear. Elu Parsiim, the Persians, right? Achashverosh is Persian. So the Persians, Sha'ochen, Vishosin, Kedov, they eat and drink like bears do. Umersubalim, Basar, Kedov, and they're covered with flesh like a bear, with a lot of hair, seemingly it means. Umegadlin, Ser, Kedov, and they grow hair like a bear. Vein, Lamanucha, Kedov, and they don't rest like a bear doesn't rest. A bear does rest, but I'm not sure what that means exactly. They rest quite some time in the winter. What? Okay. Moshe Rasha. So what do you mean Moshe Rasha? Is it Haman? He was the Rasha. And Al Amdal in a very weak, poor nation, that's Elu Yisrael. Shem Dal Min HaMitzvahs, because during those times they were very empty. They didn't perform many mitzvahs. Rabbi Elazar Pasach La Pischa La HaParshasa Mihacha. He would darshan from the following Pasach. It says, Batzatayim Yemach HaMikarya. Uvishiflos yadaim yidlof habayis. Batzatayim yimach means through atlas, through laziness. Yimach ha-mikara, the ceiling yimach comes like mach, it comes down, it collapses. Uvishiflos yadaim, in lowering the hands, yidlof habayis, it begins to have a yidlof, means to have a drip, there's a leak in the ceiling. So what does this pasuk mean? Bishvil atlas shehayolem Yisrael, because of laziness that existed in Am Yisrael, so shelo asku b'Torah, they were not engaged in learning Torah. As a result, nasa sona shehakadosh baruch hu mach, so then they became poor. Vein mach el ani mach is a lashon of poor poverty. Shneemar, it says vein mach hu me'arkecha. It's a pasuk in Bahar. It's referring to the halachas of Erchin. Erchin is a halacha, not for now, but it says if a person's poor, so what does he have to do? How does he pay? Erchin, so the pasuk goes on to describe. But it's clear that mach is referring to an ani. So here too, it also means ani. Vein mekara, even though mekara means here in this context, it refers to a ceiling, but also ein mekara el HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shneemar ha mekara v'mayim al Yosef. The one who roofs, who's on the upper top of all the water, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is the ceiling above all else. So that's a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he caused them to be poor because they were lazy and not performing mitzvahs. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak pasach la pischa la ha-parshasa mihacha. It says, Shir HaMalos, one of the Shir HaMalos is in Tehillim. It says, Lule Hashem Shehalanu Yomar Na Yisrael. Shir HaMalos, a song that elevates, had not Hashem been with us, So then Klai Yisrael screams out now, Luli Hashem Shayalanu Bukum Aleinu Adam, had not Hashem been with us when a person came up against us. So these are referring to different places when Klai Yisrael were being attacked. So when was Klai Yisrael being attacked? Adam v'lo melech. It means that Adam. Usually we're attacked by a king, by a melech. So when were we attacked by an Adam? Shekum aleinu Adam, that a person stood up against us. Who was that? It must have been a reference to Haman, because Haman wasn't a king, and he was the Adam, a layman, who was up against us trying to destroy us. Rava pasach la pischa la ha-parsha samehacha. He would darshan from the Palang Parsha. It says, Birvos tzadikim yismach ha'am. When the tzadikim are exalted, the people, the Am, is excited. Uvim shel Rasha yanach Am. But when the Rasha is in charge, when he's the Moshel, so yanach Am, yanach lashon of ha'anacha, to sigh. So that's a response when we're being led by Rasha. So birvos tzadikim yismach ha'am, when we're being ruled by a tzadik, zem Mordechai v'Esther. Dichsiva hayeshushan tzalei v'samecha, lashon of samecha is a reference to that time period in Shushan. Uvim shel Rasha yanach ha'am, ze haman dichsiva hayeshushan navocha. Navocha, they're darshing somehow to be related to the word, I guess, yanech, even though they're different, but somehow it's a lashon of we're sighing, we're letting out the feelings of being upset. Rav Masna Amar Rahacha, he would darshan a different pasuk. It says, Ki mi goy gadol asher lo elokim krovim elav. So what's a nation, what's a great nation that Hashem is so close to us? So that apparently is a reference to Haman Achashverosh in the times where he tried to say that Yesha am echad mefuza mefuah, we're very separate. But even though that's the case, when we call out to Kadosh Baruch Hu, he was very close to us, he was krovim elav. And Rav Ashi finally Amar Mehacha, O Hanisa elokim vegomer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed miracles, and of course there was a credible miracle during the times of Mordechai and Esther, Haman and Achashverosh. So now the Gemara has gone on to darshan more psukim. It says in the Megillah, Vahi b'mei Achashverosh. Amar Rav, Vai v'hi. They're taking the word Vaihi and breaking it down to Vai v'hi, like a lashon of upsetness and a lashon of mourning apparently. Hadadichsiv, that's what it means in the pasuk, vismakartem shamloi vecha, you will sell, you will sell makartem, you will sell yourselves there to your enemies, lavadim v'lishvachos, as slaves. So that was the reason why they were letting out a big sigh and a woe and a he. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel, the way he darshan the pasuk, it was, lo ma'astim v'lo galtim lachalosam, I will not have been revolted by them, nor will I have rejected them to destroy them. So what does that mean? Lo ma'astim bimei vanim. So during the times of the Greeks, I didn't ignore them. I didn't let them go. I didn't let Klai Yisrael go. Lo ga'altim, I didn't reject them. That's bimei nevucha netzer. When it says lechalosam, to destroy them, that's bimei haman. Lahafer brisi itam, to break the promise, that's bimei parsarim, during the Persians' time. Kani Hashem Elokeim, that's bimei gog u'magog. See, these are different instances throughout Jewish history where even though we were being attacked, the Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't let us go. He didn't let us be destroyed. He didn't let us get wiped out. He didn't break his promise. B'masnisa tan, the Brisa tells us in Darshan's this pasuk, it says, Lo ma'astim bimei kazdim, slightly different. During the times of the kazdim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't let us, he didn't into revolt against us. Shemadti lahem Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Vazaria. I had established these great individuals, three of them in Nevi'im, and Daniel, as we saw, was not a Navi, but he was a great tzaddik nonetheless. V'lo ga'altim bimei Yevanim, I didn't let them go during the times of the Greeks. How so? Shemadti lahem Shimon ha'tzaddik v'chashmonai Yevanim v'metaziol kohen gadol. I set up all these great chashmonayim to help protect Am Yisrael. And L'chalosam is referring to Bimei Haman. Shemati lehem, I had established for them Mordechai v'Esther. L'hafir b'risi itam Bimei Parsaim, that's the time of the Persians who stood up to protect us. Shemati lehem shall base Rebbe v'chachmei Daros, the great wise men of the time. And Keni Hashem Okehem, lost love on the future, Shein kol umma v'lashon yichol lishol behem. It's going to be a time where no nation, no people are going to be able to stand up against them. So each generation of Kadosh Baruch Hu, each attack, Kadosh Baruch Hu stands up to defend us. Rabbi Levi Amar Mehacha, he would darshan from the following. It says, Vim lo sarishu es yoshve haaretz, and if you don't drive out the people living there, so how does this reference Megillas Esther? So if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says, it's going back to Amalek, even though that they were punished because since Shaul didn't destroy Amalek, it led to what happened. So that means he didn't send them out of Eretz Yisrael. Shaul didn't wipe them out, and as a result, it led to the story of Haman trying to kill us. Rabbi Chiya Amar Rehacha Vayhi Vahaya Kasha Dimisi. And it was that I thought that the Misi had a concept in my mind. Lasos Lahem Esalachem, that I shall come to think about an idea, I will do to you. So what is that referring to? So this, Rashi says, Af Elu Kimat Kalu. One second. So it's referring to that almost, that Haman almost destroyed us during the time they tried to destroy us, which of course didn't happen. So now the Gemara goes back to darshing the Pesukim in Megillah. It says, Achashverosh. What type of name is Achashverosh? So Amar Rav Achiv Sherosh. He was the brother of the head. That he wasn't quite the head, but he was close to, it wasn't, doesn't mean literally the brother, but it means he was close to being the king, but it wasn't really, he didn't really deserve to be the king, right? He didn't really, he wasn't a Yorish of it. He married into it. So then it says, Uben Gila Sharosh, and he's also the same character as the head. So that's what it means, Achiv Sharosh, Ben Gila Sharosh, Achashverosh. That it was similar. So then the Gemara says, Achiv Sharosh, what does that mean? Achiv Shanuvuchanetzer, Arasha Shanikar Rosh. He was the brother of Nuvuchanetzer, who was called the Rosh. Shenemar, Anturesha Didahava, you are the Rosh. The Nuvuchanetzer was the Rosh. So he was Achiv, he was a brother, he was similar to Nuvuchanetzer. And Ben Gil Sharosh, he was of the same mazel as the Rosh, who Bikesh Laharog. So Nebuchadnezzar killed, and Achashverosh wanted to kill. Who Hechriv, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the base of Mikdash, and who Bikesh Lahachriv, Achashverosh at least wanted to. Shenemar, it says, V'malchus Achashverosh, B'tchilas Malchus, in the beginning of his kingship, Kosvu Sitna al Yoshe Yehuda V'Yushalayim. He wrote, like Lashon Satan, he wrote an accusation against the people of Yehuda and Yushalayim. He wanted to destroy them. That's the Lashon Achashverosh. He was a brother, which again means similar to the Rosh of Nebuchadnezzar. That's all the Shita of Rav. Shmuel Amar, Achashverosh means Shehusharu Penam Shel Yisrael Biyamav Kishule Kedera, that the faces of the Jews became so dark like the bottom of a pot. They become so black. What do you mean that they can say they became so black? So the Rashi here that says, Rashi didn't say, oh. Because he was a fire. So Achashverosh was compared to Esh, we saw earlier, so that Esh caused soot, if you will. Yeah, I'm saying, well, no, what's pshat that the faces became black? The face of black means that it just became, they came too close to Achashverosh, they were darkened from the fire of Achashverosh. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kol Shezochro Amar Ach L'Rosh. Anyone who thinks of him as Ach, like a terrible thing, you think of Achashverosh. Woe to the one who's in charge. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Shakol Nasir Roshin Biyama, because everyone became poor. Lashon Rash means to become poor. Shenemar V'yosem HaMelech Achashverosh Mas, he made these terrible taxes on everyone, so everybody became rash, everyone became poor. So then the Gemara says, why is it saying the pasuk like Achashverosh? Who Achashverosh again? Who Berisho Mitchilas of Atzofon? It says Who Achashverosh, and it says again Who Achashverosh. It doubles it. So then we tell us that from the beginning to the end he was very consistent, meaning he was a rasha from beginning to end. In a similar fashion, it says Who Esav. What mean Who Esav means? He was consistent. Who Berisho Mitchilas of Atzofon? Who doesn't Vaviram Hein Berishon Mitchilas of Atzofon? And Hu HaMelech Achaz, Hu Berisho Mitchilas of Atzofon. Avram, Hu Avram, that's the opposite, but the same concept of Hu Betzidko Mitchilas of Atzofon. Avram was consistently at Tzadik his whole life. Hu Aaron Moshe means Hein Betzidkon Mitchilas of Atzofon. The David, Hu Akatan, he was the youngest. Why who? Hu Bekatnuso Mitchilas of Atzofon. And Keshem Shebekatnuso Hikten Atzmo, just like David when he was younger. When a person's young, a young boy, is he belittles himself, he lowers himself, and Eitel Misha Gadol Mimenu Torah, in front of those who are greater, Kach B'Malchuso, when he was a king, Hikdin Atzamo Eitel Misha Gadol Mimenu B'Chachma. If there's a guy who was more important than him, who knew more Torah, even though David was the Melech, he was still makdim himself, even at the old age of being a king.
Now, the Gemara depicts Achashverosh as a Russia, from the beginning to the end. It seems to me that the Megillah itself doesn't make Achashverosh sound as bad as that.
Correct. You're right. If you read just the story, the face value, he doesn't seem as bad. He just seems like he's going with whatever people tell him to do.
Right. He's going with politically correct.
Exactly.
And then when he finds out that the whole story of that, he kills Haman.
Right. But that's why we have Torah Shabbat Pet to fill in the picture, the broader picture, that he was in fact the Russia. He didn't like us at all.
Because what Esther said, because it's cussed in the Chronicles, so it wouldn't look good. In the Chronicles of Parzamada,
they wanted to cover him up a little bit. He wanted to tell the whole story in the... Could be, yeah.
Published in that country's time.
Right. Exactly, that's what he's saying, right. They have to be politically correct, protect themselves. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Amolech, who means Amolech, that he ruled? Of course he ruled, he was the king. So Amarav, Shemolech Me'asmo, he became self-appointed. No one chose him. So Amrilei L'Shvach, Amrilei L'Gnai. This could be presented as a positive thing, it could be presented as a negative thing, that he was self-appointed. Amrilei L'Shvach, what's the positive spin? Lo hava inish dechashiv l'malka kavasi. There's no one just as good as him. He was the only one credible to become king. Amrilei L'Adar say L'Gnai. Lo hava chazi l'malchusi. He wasn't worthy of it, really, but Mamona, Yisera, Hudi Hava Kam, he came with a lot of money, he gave millions of dollars to become the king, and he bought his way to power. So Amrilei L'Shvach and Amrilei L'Gnai. The Hodavat Kush, those are the Medinos that he ruled over. What does that mean? Says the Gemara Rav Ushmuel. One of them says, Chad Amar Hodu B'Sof Olam, V'Chush B'Sof Olam. One was in the eastern part of the world that was discovered, the western part of the world that was discovered. Those are two further cities that they knew about. Hodu was an India area, and Kush was probably a Turkey area or something like that. So they owned all of Asia, in essence. So that was pretty big. Chad Amar Hodu V'Kush was Gavi Hadad Dehavikami. No, they're right next to each other. Kishem Shemelech Ahodu V'Kush, just like he had full control over two areas, two countries, two cities that were right next to each other, which is easy to. Kach Malach B'Sof Ha'olam V'Atzofo. His stronghold was so good that it was as if the entire world that he controlled was mamish, as if it was right next to each other. Kiyotzi B'Davar Simili Ata Omer Kihu Roda B'Chol Eber Anar Mitifsach V'Adaza. That Shlomo Melech was ruling, he had control over the area of the river of Tifsach all the way to Aza, the other end of Eretz Yisrael. So we have a similar machlokas how to understand the pasuk. Rav and Shmuel again have this debate. Chad amar tifsach b'sof olam, v'aza b'sof olam. One's at one end of the world, the other's at the other end of the world, and the other holds chad amar tifsach v'aza b'hadei hadadei havu. They're right next to each other. But kaimu. But kashem shemalach al tifsach v'al aza. Just like he had full control over those two cities which were adjacent to each other, kach malach hakol olam kulo. He also had that full strength, that full stronghold over the entire world. That was regarding Shlomo HaMelech. So Pasuk now says, further darshing the Pesukim, it says, Sheva v'esim me'a medina. There were 127 provinces that he owned, that he ruled over. Amr of Chista, betchila malach al sheva. First he ruled over seven. L'vasof malach al esim. Then it became 20. And then finally, basof malach al me'a, he controlled all 100 provinces in the world. So Elamiyat, if that's the case, if that's how you darshan numbers, if it is 7, 20, 100, so then Shnei Chaya Amram. Amram was Sheva Ushloshim Mashana. My Darshi is better. You're going to say he lived 7 years, then he lived 30 years, then he lived 100 years? It's a strange thing to say. So Shaini Hacha de Kray Yisayru. Now here by Megillah, it's begging to be Darshan because there's an extra word. What's the extra word? Michti. Ksiv, it says Meholdubat Kush, which tells us all the cities in the world, and then it says the Sheva V'esim Umeya Medina Alamu, the 127. So if we knew anything about geography and history, we'd know that apparently from Holdubat Kush there are 127. We don't need the Megillah to tell me that. So why does a Megillah go out of the way to tell me there were 127 Medinos? It must be telling us a Chiddush Shmamina, there were first 7, then there were 20, and then eventually there were 100 Medinos in which he controlled. Correct.
No, 100 more, maybe.
Not 100 more, but it's a good point, yep. It could have said 127 Medinos and not say Meholdubat Kush. That probably wouldn't be a clear way to present it, yeah. Gemara then says, Taner Rabbanan Shlosha Malchu Bekipa. There are three people who ruled over the Kippa, means like a Kippa on the head. It covers everything, it covers the entire head. It covers the entire world. So who are these three kings of Elohein? Achav, Achashverosh, and Nebuchadnezzar ruled Malchu Bekipa. Achav Dichsev, what's the proof? Achav, it says, Chai Hashem Elokecha, as Hashem lives, Im Yesh Goyim Amloch, if there's a nation, if there's a government, Asher Lo Shalach Adoni Sham Levakesher, is there no place that my government doesn't reach? V'lo to have a malach alayu, if Achav didn't rule over them, how could he make a shvua to say such a thing that there's no one under his control? There's no one in the world. It must be Elamai, he controlled the entire world, that he could say such a thing that we sent there, I don't know the context here, but he was sending to look for him. Yeah? So looking at Eliyahu Navi, so he sent out to look all over the world. He could only say this if he really had control over the entire world. Nebuchadnezzar, it says, the nation and the government, so it was the king that they put, they will not put the neck, the yoke of the Melech Bavel. So there's no such place, meaning every place was under the control of Bavel, namely Nebuchadnezzar. And finally, Achashverosh Hadamar, like we said, we hold about Kush. So these are the three kings and the three people who controlled the entire world. Gemara now quotes a mnemonic, Simon Shin Samach Dal Chaf Shas Dach. Vesuleka. There were no other kings who controlled over this. V'ha'ika was in their Shlomo, who we just said before, who controlled over the world. The Gemara says, no. Lo Salik Malchusa, he wasn't able to control over every single area. Hanich Mandamer Melech V'hedyo. This makes sense. If you, the Gemara in Gittin talks about a wild story of Shlomo Melech. What's the story? The story of Shlomo Melech goes as follows. He wanted to build a Beis Hamikdash. Problem is, you need a worm, what's called the Shamir, to break some of the wood. So he didn't know how to get it. So there's a whole mice that he had to, Ashmidan or something? Ashmidai, right? That big shade, he had to find out where he was. He had to trick him and catch him and put him in chains. So he caught this big shade. The way it worked was this Ashmidai, every single day he'd get some water in a cave, he'd seal it up. He'd go learn in the base medrash shel Shemaim. He'd come back down, make sure the seal wasn't broken, and then he'd drink the water. So one day, Shlomo Melech, when he needed to find out where the Shamir was, he was told to ask Ashmedai. So he sent, I forget which of his servants, a well-known servant, who was it?
Benayo
was sent, and he went, and what he did was, he plugged a hole in the bottom of the cave, all the water left. He then filled it with wine, sealed it from another place, something, and then Ashmedai came down, and he opened it up and tasted wine. He said, Kadosh Baruch Hu sent me a gift today. He drank the wine, got drunk, and then Benayahu captured him, put him in chains, put Shem HaShem on him, slept him back to Shlomo HaMelech, and Shlomo HaMelech had left him there for a number of days. Weird things were going on. And then eventually he told him how to get the Shamir. There's a certain bird that catches the Shamir. He had a whole trick. He put the glass cover over the nest of a certain bird. So the bird came back, and the nest had a glass cover. It wanted to feed its chicks. So it went to find the Shamir bird and dropped the Shamir worm on the glass. The Shamir broke through, and then Benayahu took the Shamir, and then the bird gave away the big secret, the Shamir, where it was. The bird choked itself to death, and he got the Shamir. Fine. What happened later was Ashmedai and Shlomo were talking for some time, and then I forget exactly how this conversation led, but Ashmedai says, I could show you how I have full control over you. Or he said, it's not enough that you control the world, you need to control Shadim also. So Shlomo let him go, and then Ashmedai took Shlomo Melech and threw him from one end of the world to the other end of the world, back and forth, and he lost his mind. So Gemara says he was a Melech, and then he became a Hedyot. He mamish lost his mind, he became a Shoter. So Gemara says this makes sense if you assume Shlomo was a Melech, and then he was a Hedyot, he didn't finish off his Malchus with insanity. So that's why he wasn't listed as one of these kings. Because the rest of the years of his life, he was a shote, he was a hedyot. But if you say, back to the Gemara, Elaman Damar Melech v'hedyot u'melech, he was a king, and then he lost his mind, but then he got sanity back, so then he did finish his life off as being a melech over the entire world. Ma'ik l'meimer, why wasn't Shlomo listed as one of the kings who ruled over Bekipa? So the Gemara says, Shlomo milsed achrisa habebe. Shlomo had a different control that he had, that the others didn't have. Shemalach al ha'elyonim v'al ha'tachtonim. The others only had control over the tachtonim. Shlomo HaMelech had full control over the elyonim, the malachim up in Shemaim. That was where he stood in a league in his own. Shenemar, it says, v'yeshev Shlomo al kisei Hashem. He sat in the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That no one had ever done. Gemara asks further, is it really those three are the only ones? V'ha hava Sancheirev. The chesiv, it says about Sancheirev, mi b'chol elo. Hey, Haratzos, who among all the gods of the land, Ha'elu, Asher Tilu es Artam Miyadi, who has saved the land from my hand? No land was saved for me. I control everything in the world. And the Gemara says, Ha'ika Yushalayim de Lokavshi. He wasn't Zocha in his perspective as a Zchus. We were Zocha that he didn't take over, that he wasn't able to control Yushalayim, so there he fell short. For Ha'ika Dayavish, Dichsiv, Dayavish Malka, he was a king. K'sav l'chol amima umaya lishna. He had wrote to all the people, all the nations, all the languages of the world, the Dairin Bechalara that live in all the land, Shlamach and Yiske, that everything should be in peace. So we see he sent to all the world. So the Gemara says, Ha'ika Sheva de lo Malchalayo. There are seven, apparently seven nations he didn't rule over. The Chesiv, it says, Shapir Kadam Dayavish, Dayavish was very pleased, and the Hekim al Muchuso Lach Sharpanya Meav Esrim, that he was king over 120 provinces. The problem is, there were another seven, 127 of this one, Achashverosh. And I was going to ask before, weren't there seven and then 120 and then 100? There were only 100 of them. So it must have really been 127. I'm not sure how to exactly make that calculation, but it could be it went in stage, maybe first seven, then 20, then 100. And probably at the end, there was he had all 127 ultimately, as the Pashup Shah and the Pasuk indicates. So then the Gemara says, Bahaika Koresh. Koresh also had a control over the entire world. Komar Koresh. Koresh said, who's the Melech Pras, the Persian king? Komar Mlachos Aretz Nasan Li Hashem. Hashem gave me all the Mamlachos. He gave me all the provinces, all 127. Gemara says, Hasam Ishabucha Hu de Kamishabech Menafsha. He was praising himself, but in reality, he didn't really have all control. So then the Gemara goes back to the story of Purim. It says in the Megillas Esther, "Bayam Mahim Keshavas Hamelch," was in those days that the king Achashverosh was Shevis. He was settled. He was relaxing. So what does that mean? Uksib Basay Bishnas Shlosh Hamelcho. It wasn't until the third year. So was it the beginning? Was it Betchilas Malcho or was it Bishnas Shalosh Lamalcho that the events were taking place? The Gemara says, Amar Rava, my Kishavis, what does Kishavis mean? It doesn't mean when he first became king. It means Lacha Shinish Yashva Daito, when he became, his mind became more at ease. That was in the third year that he was making the Suda. But it was Shevas, so it took 3 years for him to have a Yishva Das. So what happened? Amar Belshazzar, Kishavita. He said to himself, Belshazzar made a calculation. We know that Klai Yisrael, they lost the base of Mikdash, Bais Rishon was destroyed, and they were destined to be in Gullus, which is called Gullus Bavel, for 70 years. After 70 years, they were promised to come back to build Bais Sheni. Now, we're going to see, a little bit confusing here, but we're going to see that there were some Rishon that calculated 70 years, and they saw Klai Yisrael wasn't being redeemed. They said, must be a Kadosh Baruch who's not giving them back, and they're done, let's take over all the Kalim from the base of Mikdash. So he goes through, Belshazzar made the 70-year calculation. He said, Klai Yisrael is not being redeemed, it must be they're done. So let's see. Amar Belshazzar, Chishavata, Belshazzar made a calculation, he made a mistake. Ana, Chashivna, Achashverosh says, I'm going to make a calculation. V'lo Tayina, I didn't make a mistake. And therefore I'm able to take out all the Kalim of the base of Mikdash. So that's what took place. So what was this whole calculation and mistake? So the Chassid, it says in the Pasuk, Ki lefi malos lebavel shivim shana, when 70 years of Bavel, and after the destruction of Bais Rishon, Efkod Eschem, I'm going to redeem you. The word Efkod is always used when there's redemption. Pakod Yifkod is the Pakod Pakadi, the Pasuk, when Moshe Beinu uses it, that was like the key word. Klai Yisrael knew when they were in Mitzrayim, when they hear the word Pakod, that was the catchphrase, I'm here to be your redeemer. So after 70 years, Efkod Eschem, I'm going to redeem you. So it also means to remember. Hashem pocketed Sarah. He remembered Sarah when she had a baby, Yitzchak eventually. Uksiv, it says further, Lemalos lecharvos Yushalayim shivim shana. I'm going to rebuild the destruction of Yushalayim after 70 years. So these are the two psukim. So what happened? Chashiv arbaim v'chamesh Nebuchadnezzar. So Belshazzar calculated that Nebuchadnezzar, after destroying Bais Rishon, he was king for 45 years. And Vesim Utlas De'evil Mirodach, he's another king, so he was 23 years. Vitarti Didei, in his own, so 45 plus 23 is 68, plus the two of Belshazzar, that totals 70, so that was the 70 years. Hashivim. So the Gemara says, Ha'apik money. He took out the Kalim of the Beit Mikdash. He took out the Kalim of the Beit Mikdash, Vishamishpu, and started to use them because he realized that Kadosh Baruch Hu wasn't redeeming them. Problem was, now, what was the calculation? Nebuchadnezzar, Minalan Darbam V'chameshan Malach. How do you know that Nebuchadnezzar was ruling for 45 years? It says, Damar Mar, Galu B'Sheva, Galu B'Shmona, Galu B'Shmona Esrei, Galu B'Tsha Esrei. So what happened here? They were exiled in the 7th, they were exiled in the 8th, they were exiled in the 18th and the 19th. So what does this mean? So Gemara explains, Galu B'Sheva, Lekibush Yehoyakim, Galus Yehoyakim. So Nebuchadnezzar, when he sent them out initially, the first Galus, it was 7 years from when Nebuchadnezzar conquered Yehoyakim. That was called Galus Yehoyakim. But even though it was 7 years after Kibush Yehoyakim, it was Shishmona Nebuchadnezzar. It was 8 years from his reign. So 8 years after Nebuchadnezzar, which is 70 years after he conquered Yehoyakim, that was the first Galus of Galus Yehoyachin. And then Galu B'Shemona Esrei, there was a second Galus during that time, which was Shemona Esrei L'Kibush Yehoyakim, 18 years after conquering Yehoyakim, which is the same as, which is called Galus Tzidkiyahu, which is the same as Shichasrei in Nebuchadnezzar, which is really the 19th year of when Nebuchadnezzar became king. So the two Galus we're talking about here, two exiles. Exile one was called the Galus Yehoyachin, and exile two is called the Galus of Tzidkiyahu. That was based on who was the king, the Jewish king at the time. So Yehoyachin's exile was 8 years after Nebuchadnezzar became king, which was the same year, 7 years after he took over Yehoyakim. And the second exile of Galus Tzidkiyahu was 18 years after the conquering of Yehoyakim, which was 19 years from when Nebuchadnezzar became king. So it's really two Galus. 7-8 is one unit, and 18-19 is the second unit. So then the Gemara says, now, Damar Mar, Shana Rishona Kivesh Nineveh, the first year of Nebuchadnezzar's reign, he conquered Nineveh, which was really taking over Yehoyakim, and then the second year, Kibush Yehoyakim. So the first year, Nineveh, the second year was Yehoyakim, and from Yehoyakim, we calculate some of these exiles. So how do we know this? So the Gemara says, Uksiv, it says further, Shloshim v'sheva shana l'galus Yehoyachin. It was the 37th year from the Galus of Yehoyachin. Now Yehoyachin, remember, Yehoyachin was 8 years after Nebuchadnezzar became king. So 37 plus 8, that becomes 45. So again, 37 years after Galus Yehoyachin, Melch Yehuda, b'shnei masar chodesh, b'esim v'chamisha l'chodesh, the 25th of the month, Nasa Avil Merodach Melch Bavel, a new king came into power, b'shnas Malchuso, as Rosh Yehoyachin, Melch Yehuda, v'yotze oso, mibesi hakulu. So we see that Avil became king, Avil Merodach became king, 37 years after the Galus Yehoyachin, and 8 years earlier is when Nebuchadnezzar became king first. So again, 37 plus 8 gives us the 45 that we're looking for. Okay, so then the Gemara says it gives the math. Tamne utzlasim v'sheva hare arban v'chamesh devunuchanetzer. That's 45 years of Nebuchadnezzar. So then the Gemara says v'esim utzlas de'evil merodach gemara. The fact that Evil Merodach was a ruler for 23 years, that's a tradition that we have. And then Vitarti Diday, and the 2 years of Belshazzar, Hashivim. So during the second year, Belshazzar's Malchus, that's when he took out all the Kalim of the Mishka, the base of Mikdash, and that was his mistake. What was the mistake exactly? So he says to himself, before we get to what the mistake was, Amar, Hashiv Adai Tulo Miparke. At this point, certainly they're not going to be redeemed. Apik money, he took out the money of the base of Mikdash, the base of Mikdash Kalim. Vishamishbu, when he started to use them and desecrate them, Hainu de Kamrle Daniel, that's what Daniel says. Va Marishmaya Hishamamta Ulamania, the Kalim, money means Kalim, de Baisa Haisa Kadamach. I took out the Kalim of the base of Mikdash. Uks, if it says further, Be Bilelia Kitil, Belshazzar Malka Kasta. That very night Belshazzar, who was the Melch of Kas, was killed. Uksiv, that the night when he took out the Kalim, he was killed. As we see, he made a mistake. Uksiv, it says further, V'dayavish mada, kava malchusei kfar shnin shtein v'tartin, Dayavish, who was the Madai, became the king at the age of 62. So we see from here, either way, Belshazzar made a mistake in this calculation and led to the next king being Dayavish. Dayavish was after Belshazzar, right before Achashverosh. So we're good with that calculation? Everyone good so far? So what was the mistake? Mar says, Amar ihu mitai, tai, he made a big mistake. What was the mistake? It says, Ana chashim nevlo taine. So he made a mistake, and I'm not going to make a mistake. So what was the mistake? Miksiv l'malchus bavel. We go back to the original psukim that the Torah tells us that they're going to be in Babel for 70 years. Does it say, from malchus bavel? No, it says, li bavel ksiv, to bavel. My li bavel, it doesn't mean when the melech bavel becomes king. Not from when Nebuchadnezzar, who is melech bavel, when he became king first. That's not when you calculate it. It means, li galus bavel. When was Galus Bavel? That was 8 years after Nebuchadnezzar became king. That was the Galus Bavel of Galus Yehoyakim. That's when he started calculating it. So, Kama Batzrin, how off was Belshazzar in his calculation. Tamnei 8 years. So push everything forward 8 years. Chashiv ayil chilufayu. He replaced the 8 years needed. And chadid the Belshazzar. One more year of Belshazzar's reign. Chamesh the Daryavish. Another 5 years of Daryavish and Koresh who were king for 5 years in total. And Tarti Diday, 2 more years of Achashverosh, Hashivin. So therefore, in the Tchilas, third year of the Achashverosh, 70 years were up. They're not being redeemed. Must be, let's take out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. And Kevin the Chazad de Malu Shivin, once Achashverosh noticed that 70 years were complete, Velo Iprok, and they weren't being redeemed, the Bnei Yisrael weren't being redeemed, Amar Hashavade Tulom Mifarkes. Certainly, now they're not going to be redeemed. Apik money the Beit Mikdash. He took out the kalim of the Beis Hamikdash. The Shamish Bewin used them and abused them. Ba Satan, the Satan came. Verike benem, he danced among them. Vaharagis Vashti called for the killing of Vashti. Gemara asks, Vahashapir Chashiv. Did he make a correct calculation? Where did Achashverosh go wrong? So Gemara says, Ihu nami mitita. He also made a mistake. The Barilei lemimne mecharos Yushalayim. He should have counted from the destruction of Yushalayim, which was not from Galus Bavel. And apparently the destruction of Yerushalayim was 11 years after the Yoyachim's exile, which is really year 18, or really 19 of Nebuchadnezzar's reign. So you need to wait another 11 years until Galus Bavel is over to bring back the Bayis Sheni. Sof, Kama Batsin, how much was missing? I just said, Chadasrei, there are still 11 years missing. That was the gap to 70 years. Iu Kami Malach, how long did Achashverosh rule for? Ar Beisar. So he ruled for 14 years. So our Beisar Diday, Ibar Lulu Mivne, Beisar Mikdash. So during the 14th year of Achashverosh, so shouldn't the Beisar Mikdash have been rebuilt? Alam Aksiv, why does it say, Beidain Betelas Avidus Beis Elakadi Rishalayim? That the Avod in Beisar Mikdash was discontinued during the entire time of Achashverosh. So where are we missing something? It sounds like the calculation, it should have been right there. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Right. The building of Beis HaMikdash only took place during the Daryavish the second, which was only after Achashverosh. So why wasn't it, should have really been rebuilt during Achashverosh's time? Because he ruled for 14 years, right? The third year he made the mistake. So another 11 years where the 70 years should have been complete. So during the 14th and final year of Achashverosh's reign, that's when it should have been rebuilt. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava Shanim Mikutal Tavu. There were partial years here. I mean, in 1 year, Belshazzar died and Daryavish became king. So they were counted up until as 2 separate years, but in reality, that's really 1 year. So they were overlapping a couple of them. We had to add a couple more years onto the calculation, and that's when the Bayis Sheni was rebuilt. Okay? So we'll stop here, Mit Hashem.